This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A government shutdown looming, an estimated 750,000 civilian workers could be furloughed. Democrats and Republicans remain at odds on a short-term funding fix.
Asked about a potential government shutdown at midnight, President Trump told reporters, quote, nothing is inevitable. But he also said he thinks a shutdown is probably likely, pointing to what Democrats are pushing for in a funding bill. The president falsely claiming Democrats want to provide health care coverage for undocumented migrants. Democrats' key demands are extending Obamacare subsidies set to expire this year and reversing cuts to Medicaid passed earlier this year. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
President Trump earlier announcing Pfizer has agreed to lower its prices for prescription drugs offered through Medicaid. Part of the president's push, he says, for companies to charge U.S. patients the same rate charged in other countries. Iran's foreign ministry says hundreds of Iranian nationals will be deported from the U.S. in the coming weeks. The U.S. has not confirmed the deportation plans. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Gas prices are trending down in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
The average price for a gallon of gasoline in Wisconsin is down over 6 cents from last week to $2.82 a gallon. Nationally, prices have fallen 5.8 cents to $3.08 a gallon. Who is a petroleum analyst at Gas Buddy, says seasonal factors such as switching to winter blends and falling demand are the primary causes for the decrease.
The city of La Crosse is holding public information and engagement sessions for its city administrator working group. A proposed ordinance to add the position of city administrator to the city of La Crosse will be decided upon by the La Crosse Common Council in February. The information sessions are being held on September 30th, October 6th, October 8th, and October 14th. The proposed ordinance would add a city administrator, which would take on some of the responsibilities of the mayor's office. The race for Wisconsin's governor continues to take shape as one new candidate is announced and another drops out. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
Hughes has served as secretary and CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation since 2019. She left her post about a week and a half ago, rumored to be entering the gubernatorial race. Here's how her first campaign ad begins.
I'm Missy Hughes. There are a few things you need to know about me.
Missy's a Democrat who understands the economy.
She spent years growing Wisconsin businesses.
And worked to strengthen main streets across Wisconsin. The biggest thing? I'm running for governor.
Hughes emphasizes her business background and says that is what sets her apart.
I spent 17 years as a dairy industry executive, growing Organic Valley to $1 billion in sales and keeping Wisconsin family farmers on their land.
She now joins a crowded field running for governor. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Bucks without Giannis. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks held their media day to kick off their season, but Giannis Antetokounmpo not there. He's in quarantine in Greece after testing positive for COVID. On a Zoom call, Giannis asked how he feels about missing the start of training camp.
Definitely disappointed. Bummed out that I'm not able to be there with the team and just like, you know, as a leader, I don't feel good about this. But at the end of the day, like, this is life. But at the end of the day, I think they will understand. If I'm not there today to see them, I'll be there in a few days and we get the ball rolling.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers have a rough schedule ahead with games against Iowa, Ohio State, and this Saturday they travel to Michigan.
Our ability to maintain and sustain some consistency as we continue to push and grow is going to be every bit as important as anything else.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and mild tonight, a low close to 60. And mostly sunny and warm again for Wednesday, a high near 80. Heat continues to build through the rest of the week, highs in the 80s. Storm chances return Friday night through the weekend. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Derek Van Orden over on our Facebook page jumped into our comment section. Derek Van Orden can get as snooty as he wants with reporters. He can get as confrontational in comment sections. He can use all the cuss words that he wants. And he said 18 U.S. Code subsection 2331. Look it up. Well, we did. It doesn't cover social media posts that make a congressman get his fees all hurt.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by the executive director of Block, Angela Lang. We discuss the current state of the gubernatorial candidates here in the state of Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allball Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allball.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Allball, along with Mr. Aaron Zommer, our producer and engineer. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big broadcast on this Tuesday, September 30th, 2025. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. 30 days have September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31, except February, which has 28, except in a leap year, which has 29. I'm just one of those things you learn as a kid, and it sticks with you.
It didn't stick with me
really?
When I was a kid, but now I think it will. For some reason, after hearing you say
none of your teachers ever told you that?
The 30 days has September, April, June, and November. If they did, I just forgot.
Really?
And I always have to check.
I was just drilled into my head as a kid. My grandma used to say it all the time. 30 days have September, April, June, and November.
Well, I think now I'll remember it.
Well, good. We gave you news you can use.
Indeed.
Today's show. Stay tuned. Coming up here in just a little while, going to have a great conversation about conservation and the Nels. Nelson Knowles Stewardship Fund. Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund. Great. We've talked about it before the show. Alex is going to be back it's not Conservation Congress.
It's Nature Conservancy.
Thank you. From the Nature Conservancy. That's what I was trying to say earlier. So Alex is going to be here from the Nature Conservancy. And they're great folks. And he'll describe the history of this great conservation program and where we're at in this process to save it. Because the bipartisan budget that passed the Republican-controlled legislature with Democratic votes and the signature of Democratic Governor Tony Evers did not include funding for this very important program. It's something that's near and dear to my heart as a guy who loves the outdoors and conservation. So Alex is going to be here from Nature Conservancy and talk about Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program. And just, you will not want to miss this conversation. And again, in full transparency, you're listening to a show that was recorded yesterday. As we sit here 24 hours before showtime on Tuesday. We're actually coming to you from the past. Wouldn't it be great if we came to you from the future? Why can't we do that, Zomer?
Maybe someday.
We could come to people from the past. I think one someday we're going to come on, we're going to pre-record and say, we're coming to you from tomorrow.
I think, you know what, we'll figure it out one of these
days. I think
that'd
be a lot of fun. I'm in Shawano doing some family stuff, nothing serious, just helping out dad with some minor oral surgery things are going on, so just helping out my stepmom with that. We'll be coming to you live from Shawano tomorrow. On Wednesday, Trigvi Olson, Pat Kreitlow on as per usual, and then on Thursday as well. And Friday, who knows where we'll be.
It's a mystery. It's a mystery show on Friday as we record this. So stay tuned. You never
hopeful.
Know. You never know where we're going to be. So we got that out of the way of our guests coming up here. Oh, I know what we got to do. It is time once again for the green and gold text to win trivia. No, see, I've already messed it up. Time now for the green and gold multi-state text to win contest. There we go. daily prize. Somebody today is going to win $200 cold hard cash. That's the green. That's the green. And they're going to win gold jewelry. Gold plated jewelry. That's what it says here. That's the gold. And then everybody who enters is eligible for the one grand prize, two club level indoor seats to Green Bay versus Minnesota. Green Bay home game, November 23rd, 2025 at 12 noon. Plus a gas card to get you to the game. It has a prize package value of $1,550. Bob, back to you. No, that's all right. And so all you got to do is you got to text in. I'm going to give you a key word here in just a moment here for Tuesday. And you're going to text in the word. Even though this is pre-recorded, you're going to the computers never take a day off. And so they're going to take your word. Make sure you text it exactly right. Here's how you do it. If you don't have it, download the Civic Media app from your Android or Apple device. Go to your app store, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up. Cute little CM logo. Click on that. Takes less than a minute to download. It's free. It's what Gail King over there at CBS calls a deal. By the way, have you checked out the new... CBS went back to their old studio, which is now the new studio.
Right.
They redid it. I actually like the studio set from 2012 better. It's a small studio, and somehow this new redesign has made it look smaller.
Impressive.
The color scheme is fine. The lighting is great. Don't like the overall layout. Anyway, that's a different bottle of wine. So download the Civic Media app. You open it up. First 10 stations are the ones that we're on. And then click on one of those, closest one to you. Anyone will do. Lower right-hand corner, a little icon that says text. A little bubble, like back in the old cartoon days when people used to subscribe to something called newspapers. Incredible word, newspapers.
No one's heard of it before.
Nobody's heard of that. It used to be comic strips. So you click on the little icon that says text. All right. Now you're set to go. Now I'm going to give you the keyword for this hour. The keyword for Tuesday, September 30th, is golden. Golden. G-O-L-D-E-N. The word for today is golden. Golden. As in... who plays? Who's the new draft choice for the... So, here now is the beauty of pre-recording this show. And this is why I can't wait for this week to be over. Because I used today's word in a sentence, and I said an unforbidden word, or a forbidden word. And the nice thing is about pre-recording, Zomer stopped it, and we have edited out the forbidden word. All right? So no more fun. Just text the word golden. G-O-L-D-E-N. Golden. G-O-L-D-E-N. You have until 4 o'clock to text us the word. Good luck. In the Civic Media, green and gold text win contest. Nobody enjoys humor anymore, Zomer.
People are saying.
People are saying. Very serious these days. Very serious. All right. We're going to talk a little bit more here momentarily. We say out tomorrow, we're live in Shawano, along with Trigvi Olsen and Pat Kreitlow. And by the way, have you listened to Kreitlow lately? If you haven't, 6 until 9. It's a great program. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Grab your cup of coffee, whatever your beverage is. Tune in. And then tomorrow, Kreitlow's going to be here live when we're in Shawnee, Wisconsin. Lots of sports today. Because I figured this. I figured at least these things aren't going to change. Here's the problem with pre-recording shows these days. It used to be, well, you know, I'll talk about this thing in the news and that. Well, with today's news cycle, 4 hours, something's old news.
It's insane.
It's insane. I'm thinking, well, sports, that's not going to change. By the way, our phone lines will be back open tomorrow. You can call and talk live to Todd and Zomers. If we haven't been canned by the lawyers. From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. As Wisconsin Badgers coach Greg Gard adapts to transient era, he sticks to core values. Great story from John Steep. I believe it's Steep or Steepy. S-T-E-P-P-E. Maybe it's Step. Maybe the E's silent. Great reporter. College athletics, as Wisconsin men's basketball coach Greg Gard sees it, is, quote, slowly moving towards a more stable environment, unquote. We're moving in the right direction, Gard says, but we've got a ways to go yet. I think there's a lot of things that we can do now to how to answer that. How is revenue sharing going to work? What's the number it's going to be in addition to revenue sharing through third-party NIL contributions? At the same time, Gard has not so slowly adapted to the ever-changing college athletic landscape. That was evident last year when Missouri transfer guard John Tonjay led a team to the Big Ten tournament title game while playing in a much quicker tempo than the Badgers have historically used. It'll be evident again this year as the Badgers, or as Wisconsin, leans on 9 newcomers. That's incredible to me. I mean, just shows you how much, as someone who's watched college basketball for a long time, all the way back into the late 80s, early 90s, during my time at UW Platteville. I mean, to think a Bo Ryan team, coach team, or in the early days of Greg Gard, would have had 9 new people, you would have thought, well, that's something's wrong there.
NIL and the transfer portal have changed everything.
It's all changed. So 5 transfers and 4 incoming freshmen on the team. Gard will have only 1 year to work with it all, but one of the transfers, giving him a much shorter on-ramp for the development that his predecessor and boss, Bo Ryan, had when leading the Badgers to back-to-back Final Four appearances. But it's all part of how he has ushered an evolution of Wisconsin basketball amid the realities of the transfer portal and player compensation. Gard says, quote, I think you have to stick to your core values, he says, of his adaptations during a visit with the Journal Sentinel newsroom. Quote, and obviously, how we want to play has changed a little bit. We've evolved, specifically offensively, and have really moved the needle from what we've done on that end of the floor. But the other parts of your program, off the court, academically, those things all start with recruiting good people. And whether you're going to be here for 8 months or you're going to be here for 5 years, you still want really good people in your program. Unquote. I think Gardo has nailed it. And this is why there's a huge difference, in my opinion, between the UW basketball program, men's basketball. Do we still have a women's program? Bring baseball back. Anyway, I think there's a huge difference between the men's basketball program and the football program. Because Gard has kept the best of the foundation of men's basketball from Dick Bennett and Bo Ryan to now Greg Gard, and he's adapted. And the football program, in my opinion, just hasn't done that. And what you hear Gardo saying here is that it comes back to good, and not to say there aren't good people on the football program. There's great people. But the success, as you see in men's basketball, very similar to what Brewers manager Pat Murphy keeps saying, which is it's about the who. It's about the guys you have in the room. Doesn't always mean you have to have the best talent, at least on paper. Certainly not the highest paid players. It's about the chemistry of the guys and gals in the room. That's what creates success a lot of time. And Greg Gard and Pat Murphy have found a way. We're going to come back, talk about some other great people in terms of conservation. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk about stewardship fund on the other side. It's a Tuesday edition of the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. You think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free?
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Matt Nair on air.
He joins us every Friday at this time for some recombobulation. He is also Civic Media's political editor. Dan Schaefer is here.
Tom Tiffany has made it official. He is running for governor. I think he is a Trump endorsement and a strong fundraising quarter away from clearing the field.
Well, but Tony Weed has endorsed him, which is like being Trump adjacent.
It's like the transitive property of endorsements.
Yes.
It's the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, only just sad.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Civic Media Radio Network. Now 22 minutes past the hour. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday, September 30th, 2025. Zommer's on the board there. Appreciate that. A little outdoor music appropriate for our next guest here. He has been on the show before. Glad to have him back. He is the associate director, assistant or associate?
Associate. I'll take right. Either.
Oh, no, it's fine. We want to make sure we get it right. Associate Director of Government Relations at the Nature Conservancy here in Wisconsin, Alex Bedorsky. Alex, how are you?
I am great on this balmy but lovely week
yes,
here in Madison.
I know, right?
Yeah.
We, as we say, full disclosure, we recorded this yesterday on Monday, but it's going to be balmy through pretty much through Friday at least. So, in some ways, it's nice to get a little bit more of quote-unquote summer in, but from environmental or conservation, not exactly normal for Wisconsin.
Not exactly normal. I am more of a fall guy myself, but you know what? I'll soak in the rays while I can.
A good way to look at it, I was out getting some vitamin D on the shores of Lake Mendota this weekend. So
great.
Just kind of chilling there. It's beautiful. And also, I think I talked about this a little bit yesterday, went for a walk. I'm not going to say where, just out of due respect, but was walking at one of Dane County's wonderful mini nature parks. And I was walking past a couple. They were walking a little slower than I was. And I kind of looked over. The gentleman and I made eye contact. And I said, how are you guys doing? And he said, fine. And I started going, I stopped. I turned around and said, Governor, how are you? And their former governor, Jim Doyle, and former first lady were out walking alone, just taking it all in. And we had a nice chat. I thanked him for his service. But I think that epitomizes Wisconsin's outdoors It's where, whether you're a former governor or just a schlep talk show host like me, we can all meet out on our nature trails, and we're all equal in nature.
That's right. We are all equal in nature. That is a lovely way to put it, Todd. And you never know who you'll bump into. I was on Lake Mendota myself this weekend. I won't call it a hike because I was with my 3.5 and 1.5 year old daughters. Fair. So when my wife and I weren't corralling them, we were moving at a leisurely pace, but it's great. You know, there were college students there, senior citizens, everybody from every walk of life enjoying the great outdoors here in Wisconsin.
One of those things that makes it possible is something called the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund. We're going to get into that in a little while here. But I thought it was a good time because, you know, as much as I like to hope people always listen to the show, we get new listeners all the time. And that's one of the other great things about this program and this network. For those that aren't familiar with the Nature Conservancy, tell folks what that is and the difference or connection between the national organization and the state organization.
Sure. So the Nature Conservancy is the planet's largest conservation and environmental nonprofit. We are in 79 countries in all 50 states.
Wow.
Here in Wisconsin, we've been doing good work since 1959. We've helped protect over 240,000 acres of the state's most precious lands and waters for all to enjoy. And we are part of one big umbrella. So I love this state. I love this state organization, but I'm also proud to be part of our global work.
And the Nature Conservancy, is it completely funded through private donations? Are there taxpayer dollars? Is there jointly? How does the program operate in terms of funding?
Sure. So we do work with some federal and state grants, but overwhelmingly we are funded. I think I'm going to sound like a PBS ad here. Overwhelmingly, we are funded by generous donors like you at home. Yes. On the radio dial here. And there are so many great conservation-minded donors in this state and across the country and across the world. People love being able to get out in these spaces. They love being able to hunt, to fish, to watch wildlife, to just enjoy the outdoors with their loved ones. And we're very grateful for all the donors who help make that possible.
In the world we live in of information silos and online presences where people, in my opinion, far too often only look at that which reflects what we want to believe to be true, I think that there are stereotypes or things that get put out there. And one of the cool things about this program is we get to break that down. You kind of hit on it there, Alex, expand on it a little bit. The Nature Conservancy. And not that there's, Jerry Seinfeld once said, not that there's anything wrong with that. This is not a far left granola crunching, oh, we hate anything that's development. This is a program, as I understand it, that, as you said, whether you hunt, whether you fish, maybe you vote on the right, or whether you're a bird watcher like our friend Matt Rothschild and vote on the left, the Nature Conservancy has membership and donors from all different political spectrums because this is something that should bring us together.
All different walks of life, all different political views, because this should bring us together. It's somewhat unique among organizations that operate in the political sphere, whether we're talking locally in Wisconsin or on the national level, where our board chair is former Republican U.S. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist. We have people who are staunch Democrats, staunch Republicans, independents, but they agree on one thing, the importance of protecting nature and the great outdoors.
I'm so glad you named those members because you have the bona fides to back it up. It's not, some people say, oh, you know, we're bipartisan. You've actually reached out. And I think this is a bigger deal. I don't want to just let this slide because in today's day and age, to get people who identify with partisan parties to come and serve on the same board, we don't hear that much anymore, unfortunately.
We don't hear it that much anymore. And unfortunately, Todd, as you alluded to, in this world that is so divided, people are reading entirely different things. Mm-hmm. It's hard to know what's news and what's not. And it can be difficult for people to get along with their neighbors and people with different political views when they aren't even looking at the same news sources. And that's why we think it's great to bring people with really diverse points of view together, all in favor of nature.
I could not agree more, and I'm so glad you've taken time out to be with us today. Alex Bedorsky is our guest, the Associate Director of Government Relations at the Nature Conservancy. Come on back. We'll discuss about how this impacts specifically a very wonderful Wisconsin program. Not going to want to miss it, but stay tuned now for a little farm news. Our farm director, Pam Yonke. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And take back some.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, Lacrosse's home for The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
With the year in the agriculture industry, there's many weeks dedicated to many different things, whether it be Farm Safety Week, Farmer Mental Health Awareness Week, or Green Career Week. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. And here to give more insight onto what Green Career Week is the Executive Director of Seed Your Future, Jasmine Alberon.
Green Career Week is a time where we want to inspire young people to pursue careers working in horticulture and floriculture, right? All the plants, the trees, the turf. These jobs are important more than ever. And working with plants is a multi-billion dollar industry that impacts everything from the food supply, the air we breathe, where we live, even to what we wear. These jobs are important. And so by getting more young people introduced to the industry and understanding what those careers look like, we can hopefully persuade more of them to find their path.
Jasmine Alberon, the executive director of Seed Your Future, telling us about Green Career Week that starts next Monday on October 6th. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at those closing markets right after this.
Don't touch that dial. You are tuned into Whiffle's Country WYFF, the station that's been family-owned and fiercely independent for almost 80 years. No nonsense, just common sense and chart-topping corn hybrids coming to farm gates all over the Central Corn Belt. Stay tuned for more Whiffle's Country hits like She Thinks My Kernel's Sexy, I Got 99 Problems But Yield Ain't One, and Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Sell Soybeans. Thanks for listening, and remember to keep it independent with Whiffle's Hybrids.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's see how the markets closed on this Tuesday. There's a mix here with cash and new crop corn down 6 at 415.5 and cash and new crop soybeans down 8.75 at 10.01.75. December wheat is down 11.5 at 508. Class 3 milk is seeing gains with October contracts up 27 cents at 1726 a hundredweight and November contracts up 28 cents at 1691 a hundredweight. 40-pound blocks of cheese saw a 5.5-cent gain at 172, but butter saw a 5-cent loss at 171. Make sure to follow along with the Midwest Farm Report team while we're at World Dairy Expo this week. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and mild tonight, a low close to 60. And mostly sunny and warm again for Wednesday, a high near 80. Heat continues to build through the rest of the week, highs in the 80s. Storm chances return Friday night through the weekend. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Actor, writer, and my son, Joe Schwabba. Do you have a favorite one-hit wonder song, Joe?
I don't know. That's not great radio.
30
I'm
seconds.
Giving you right
what,
now.
But, what about what does the Fox say? We grew up kind of in the same era, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what does the Fox say? Or Gundam Style?
Oh, those are terrible.
That's another one. Oh, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, should the government bail out our farmers because of the tariff policies instituted by our government? We talk to Darren Von Rudin in hour number 2. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a big old beautiful world out there. Sometimes you just gotta let it take you where the roller coaster ride meets the tilt-a-whirl world. It's a big old beautiful world. La, da, da, da.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. A little Kenny Chesney for you. Outdoors guy. He's more Caribbean, but he only grew up in Tennessee. But water. Land, mountains, it's all important, and I think it's where we could all come together. Welcome back to the program. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday, the 30th of September, 2025. In fairness, we pre-recorded this show yesterday, back with an all-new live show tomorrow before we get back into a little conversation on nature. Don't forget, we are right in the middle of our text to win word for this hour, the green and gold text to win word. The word this hour is golden. Golden. G-O-L-D-E-N. Golden.
And it is. So, a multi-state contest.
It is a multi-state contest. So text in the word golden for the Civic Media green and gold multi-state text to win contest. Far few rules, fewer rules are with the conversation, which is why I love having our guest here for the rest of this half hour. Alex Modorsky, who is the Associate Director of Government Relations at the great organization called the Nature Conservancy. Alex, again, thanks for being here. And before the Pam Yonke Farm Report, we started to talk a little bit, and boy, you know, can have a whole other cup of Wonder State coffee over this. I'm just... And do you find this in your realm of your issue areas of nature conservancy and conservation? I truly believe that we have gotten to the point in America where there are times now when a guy who works in media like me, let alone the average person out there who's kind of a laissez-faire type of consumer of information, like, what's actually the truth? And I hate to say that. Is that too dour? Or I think there's so much mis and disinformation and people are so segmented, you could have someone say, no, I listen to X news source, and I didn't mean that as X in Twitter, but a news source, and I know that that's not true. When because of the source they're listening to, it simply isn't. Is that harder to get the message out these days?
I think it is a bit harder to talk about some of these issues than it used to be. I'll draw back to our ancient history in the state capitol, Todd, working as staffers. And I remember when I was working part-time in the state Senate, fresh out of college, back then things really were much more convivial. You know, legislators of different parties would go and hang out in each other's offices. They would chat like old friends. The opposition was not the enemy. Let's put it that way. And I think too often people just have lost sight of that in our contemporary culture. And it is one reason I'm proud to work on programs like the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program that we'll discuss in a moment, because it was created in a bipartisan fashion, passed by a Democratic legislature, signed into law by Governor Tommy Thompson, named after two great statesmen, one Republican conservationist, one Democratic conservationist. And this really is sort of a feel-good program that's great for every sector of our state that people should be proud of at a time when it can be very difficult to want to stay involved in politics and pay attention to the news. It's a hard world out there in some ways right now, and that's why we have to preserve this state's great natural heritage. It's something we all love and enjoy.
It's a great segue into talking about the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program, named after two Wisconsin Governor Warren Knowles and Gaylord Nelson, who is also the founder of Earth Day. One Republican, one Democrat. As you said, signed into law by Governor Thompson, passed by a Democratic legislature. We've had Tia Nelson, the daughter of Gaylord Nelson, on this show before, from the state park that's named after her father on Earth Day. And she says, as the daughter of Gaylord Nelson, you know, I'm still very good friends with Governor Tommy Thompson. And we talk privately a lot. And he good-naturedly brags that he actually signed more land in this state into conservation programs than her father did. But and it's all good-natured, but if you would just say, well, who are they voting for president, or who have they voted for U.S. Senate, probably very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
But to your earlier point, there was a day in this state, and the folks at Nature Conservancy are still keeping this alive, which I appreciate so very much, where you could come together on issues that were uniquely Wisconsin. Tell us about this, the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program.
Absolutely. So the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program is named after former governor and senator Gaylord Nelson, a Democrat, and former Republican governor Warren Knowles, who created the state's very first land conservation program. So continuing in that bipartisan spirit is the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program. It's a public-private partnership that allows conservation organizations like the Nature Conservancy to bring some money to the table and say, hey, these are great lands for hunting, for fishing, for protecting different valuable species and ecosystems, for growing tourism, our forestry industry. And we'd like to invest in the future of this state's outdoors by moving these grants along and funding some great work, whether it's a suburban park or whether it's some beautiful land up north that is home to valuable species. It's something that different local governments, nonprofit conservation organizations, and county forest systems can use to help work together and protect our environment.
There's so many programs that I think a lot of our listeners have used and probably don't realize, whether it's putting a kayak in along a waterway or whether it's a public hunting area. And they have no idea that that was made possible through the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program.
That's right. You know, when we do polling at the Nature Conservancy on this issue, every time it comes up, over 90% of voters statewide tell us they support this program. Doesn't matter if they consider themselves to be Republicans, Democrats, or independents, because I think once people get to know the program, they get to learn that, hey, this might not be here if my elected officials and legislators didn't work to make this happen. And a tremendously high percentage of the state lives within a mile or 5 miles of a stewardship program, no matter where you live in the state, a stewardship project.
We are speaking with Alex Modorsky. He is the Associate Director of Government Relations at the Nature Conservancy, and we're talking about the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program, specifically in Wisconsin. You know, I guess there's really no use of spending a lot of time into why we got here. We've done that on previous programs. Correct me if, keep me honest, the long and the short of it is, in the Joint Finance Committee process where the state budgets put together, this program didn't make it in. Various reasons might have had to do with the court case and how these... The bottom line is it didn't get in. And so this has left this program, very important program, in my opinion, is left unfunded. So, Alex, bring us up to date where we are now, because both sides, Governor Evers and Democrats and Republicans of the legislature, he's from my part of the state, Southwest Wisconsin. Tony Kurtz is on, mm-hmm. who's on the Joint Finance Committee. Senility, I'm sorry. But he is a Republican. He has said that he wants to save this. His version, according to Democrats we've spoken with, doesn't go far enough. Tell us where we're at, Alex, in terms of some sort of compromise that will keep this program going, and not just going, but properly funded to continue where we are at.
Sure. So the program was traditionally reauthorized at a period of 10 years through the state budget process. It was not included for reauthorization and funding in the state budget. So now what we're doing is working with a couple of bills out there, There's a Republican-authored bill and a Democratic-authored bill to try to get this program refunded and renewed. The funding for the program will expire in June 2026 if we haven't invested in it again by then. And we're working with Republicans and Democrats very hard to make sure that happens.
And if it does not, let's be hopeful, but let's just lay it. I think it's important to put the stakes out there because I think we need all our listeners across the state to contact their state senator, state representative, and let them know they want this. Tell us, if it doesn't get renewed, what are the consequences across the state?
If the program doesn't get renewed and there's a lapse in funding for it, we're not going to be able to do things like have and maintain more of those suburban parks, more of those valuable fishing and hunting landscapes that are open to all, that are free. And we're not going to be able to protect some of the rarest species we have in this state if that funding lapses. And those species include both game species and non-game species. We have to protect them both. So those are the stakes. And in terms of the stakes, in terms of time, we need people to contact their legislators as soon as they can and as often as they can. We've got until realistically late February, early March to get this program funded to continue on for its next cycle. The legislature, usually in an even-numbered year, which is to say an election year, is usually done with its work by that early March, late February timeline. So those are the stakes, and that's the time we have to work with.
Alex Podorsky from the Nature Conservancy is our guest here this half hour. Alex, because you do this so well, you understand this stuff, you can put it in terms we can all understand. But again, keep me honest, as I follow this, the biggest differences I see, maybe at the 30,000-foot level, is the Republican-sponsored bill wants to basically do a lot of maintaining of the lands, the public lands that we have, with a giving this entire state legislature a vote on acquiring new lands. And the Democratic side, they would like to basically keep things as they are, which is say, hey, when these lands come up, you know, real estate deals, you don't have time to take this the entire legislative process. And acquiring new lands and maintaining them is as important. Do I have that right or is that wrong?
I think that's right, Todd. We are pleased that both the Republican and Democratic bills propose investing new money in maintaining that land, these valuable conservation lands going forward, because those one-time investments are great, but continued investment in making sure those lands are great after acquired is both necessary and appreciated. We also like to remind legislators and other folks that real estate and the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program, they move at the pace of any other business, right? Mm-hmm. So if we have projects that are bogged down in a legislature for several months or for years, then there are conservation-minded property owners who will quite reasonably say, I really want to put these lands into conservation for future generations, for not only my family and the public to enjoy, but it's hard for me to do that when I need to figure something out and I don't know how long it's going to take for these plans to come into action.
I had a snarky smirk on my face as Alex was explaining this last part, because we both worked in the building, as they say, in the state capitol, and we both understand, and I think you'll agree, it doesn't matter what party is in charge. Oftentimes, the red tape stereotype is there for a reason, because it's deserved. Sometimes things can move quickly, but as to your point, things get bogged down. And everybody wants to have their say so they can go home and score points to the local community. And that's just anybody who's ever done a land deal in this state, who's purchased real estate, to your point, sometimes you got to strike where the iron's hot or you're going to lose that opportunity. And this isn't like one or two people are deciding these things. There's a board already in place through the DNR to do that. But we'll come back and talk more with Alex Podorsky, the Associate Director of Government Relations at the Nature Conservancy, about the Nels Nolson Stewardship Fund, a vital program for all of us in this state. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's a big old beautiful world.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew.
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 30th, New Hampshire implemented new hurdles for registering to vote by mail and requesting an absentee ballot. The regulations hit students, elders, and the disabled the hardest, and a pending suit claims many could be disenfranchised. New Hampshire already has some of the strictest absentee voting rules in the country, accepting only a few excuses to vote absentee. The state had over 99,000 absentee voters in 2024. With the added requirements of SB 287 and 218, citizens registering to vote by mail must now submit copies of citizenship documents, age, and residency. The voter registration application must also be signed by a witness before submission. The Brennan Center recently found that 1 in 9 Americans don't have ready access to such documents. Notably, only one non-citizen has ever been convicted for voting illegally in New Hampshire. Then, after the voter registration is accepted, New Hampshire requires an absentee ballot application be submitted for each election, which now must include a copy of the voter's state or federally issued photo identification, even if you've provided those documents previously or provide a notarized signature. A lawsuit filed August 19th argues such restrictions make it difficult for students, elders, the disabled, and those without access or means to copy the documents to vote. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock at the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to. A check of weather with Brittany Merlot and her weather team. I'm going to tell you what it is right now. Hot, hot. That is the weather across the state of Wisconsin. More summery than fall, but don't worry. It's going to arrive here. And then we'll be saying, where's all that warm weather? And then, of course, our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, continues to update us on sports around the state of Wisconsin and another edition of the Maggie Dawn Show, followed by another great edition with our friend of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe across the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to be back tomorrow with an all-new live show from beautiful Shawano, Wisconsin. Pat Kreitlow, Trigby Olson will be our guest. Join us then. But right now, finishing up with our fine guest today, Alex Bedorsky, the Associate Director of Government Relations for the Nature Conservancy. And Alex, just again, thank you for your time. This is so important. This is something that's personally important to me. And one of the things is because for me, I think the outdoors is as healing a thing for me mentally and even physically than anything else I could possibly think of. But also, I know this to be true because I've experienced it. I know you've traveled around as well. It's one of those things that binds us together as Wisconsinites. And in a world where everything feels divided, it's so nice to talk about a program that brings people together.
Absolutely, you know, and I'm going to go cheese ball on you here, Todd. Right. Warning. But my two daughters, when I was hiking with them, my wife the other day, really how I think about this program is what kind of legacy, what kind of state do I want to leave them, mm-hmm. right? I want them to be able to enjoy not only all these wonderful things I did, but more of them. And I want our state's tourism industry to continue to grow. I did not have the privilege of growing up in Wisconsin. I chose this wonderful state as a college student and beyond, in large part because of the outdoor spaces we have access to. And when my parents come up here to Door County or down in Stoughton where I live, they're always blown away by the nature opportunities they have. That's the way we want to keep it, and we want to keep growing this program.
Our friend Trigvi Olson will be on the show tomorrow. He's worked in state and federal politics as well. He has a fond saying that former Governor Thompson taught him years ago, which was, he used to say, Trigvi, there are two types of politicians, those that want to be and those that want to do. And I'm not trying to hate it. I'm not going to call anybody out by name. I fear there are too many people in our state legislature that want to be someone right now and want to take credit. And then there are those legislators that want to do something. And what needs to be done is for legislators to come together, work with Governor Evers, and craft a bill that can save the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund so that hunters, fisher people, outdoor butterfly and bird enthusiasts and kayakers, all of us as Wisconsinites, can continue to use the great outdoors. Again, I'll go back to real estate. It ain't getting cheaper. And there are a lot of people that can't afford to own their own hunting land, didn't inherit a farm, but they love going out and hunting. And that's due to a public hunting land. And so, Alex, do you see, is there any sign of compromise here right now in the Capitol to solve this? And what can the average Wisconsinite do?
I think there's still a great opportunity to solve this, to continue on the great funding for this great program. And there have been some great doers, as you've said, Todd. Representative Tony Kurtz from Western Wisconsin, Senator Pat Testin from the Stevens Point area. They are the authors of the Republican bill. On the Democratic side, Senator Jody Habesh-Sinikin and Representative Vincent Maresi. They're working really hard, too. We just need folks to find some common ground, to contact their legislators, and to make sure we can get something across the finish line that people can live with so that everyone can continue to enjoy great outdoor spaces.
And they can go to call their state legislator, assembly, or senate personnel. One of the best websites in the world. Your website at Nature Conservancy is just nature.org, nature.org.
Nature.org. It's very easy to find us there. If you want to contact your legislator and you don't know how to do that, or you don't know who represents you in the legislature, you can go to the Wisconsin State Legislature's website and they'll guide you from there how to contact who represents you via email, via phone. And we've got a great opportunity to continue these investments, which are immensely popular all over the state. It's an opportunity we can't miss. So please do take that time to contact your legislators.
2 minutes left. What do you feel is the biggest sticking point right now between these two bills? Is it the fact that the Republicans want the whole legislature to vote on these acquisitions? And is that it? Is that the big stumbling block, or is it something deeper and more political?
I think there are a lot of legislators who have a lot of different perspectives on what the outdoors mean and how they want to weigh outdoor conservation versus other things. But I think these bills are close enough that we should be able to find something that people can work with. The DNR experts, as you've mentioned, the people who appraise real estate, they're pros. We don't get a free pass. They've got to say, yeah, this makes sense to us before things move along. And we want legislative involvement as well. We want involvement from Democratic and Republican legislators. But we don't want to go back to a place where there's an anonymous, indefinite veto over important conservation programs.
Nature.org is the website. 35, 40 seconds left. Alex Modorsky, what's a place in the Wisconsin people should go out and enjoy because of Nelson stewardship?
I was in Fish Creek, Wisconsin earlier this summer, and one of the beautiful parks right on Main Street there up in Door County has a great sign that says this was funded in part by the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program. And hanging out with my parents, wife, and daughter there, you don't get better than that.
News you can use. Go to Fish Creek. And we thank Alex Podorsky, the Associate Director of Government Relations for the Nature Conservancy. Alex, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
My pleasure to have you on. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. We'll be back with a live show from Shawnee, Wisconsin tomorrow. Join us then. Thanks to Zombers, everybody else who helped on the show. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Lawmakers racing toward a government shutdown, the deadline midnight to agree on a short-term funding bill.
The Senate is expected to vote, possibly more than once, on the House-passed bill that would avert a shutdown, funding agencies through November 21st. Democrats are expected to block it. If the standoff continues, the first shutdown in nearly 7 years would begin at midnight. Much of the federal bureaucracy would grind to a halt. Hundreds of thousands of civilians would be furloughed, and federal employees who must still report for work wouldn't be paid until a shutdown ends.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy, the Congressional Budget Office, estimates in this round it could cost taxpayers $400 million a day to pay federal workers who'd be barred from working. Hurricane Umberto's outer bands raked Bermuda today, but forecasters say Umberto's strength will pull Imelda further out to sea and spare the U.S. a direct hit. All Wall Street today, investors shrugged off earlier concerns of a shutdown, stocks ending up. This is ABC News.
Farm news that